All right, my friends, welcome back in to the third hour of the Game Blitz. We're here till midnight for you tonight. All the best in high school football, Middle Tennessee, all the scores. We've got reporters everywhere, all the updates of everything that's happening. Hey, real quick, thanks to all the coaches that have joined us tonight. And Chuck Gentry at Lebanon, Fred Burnett at McGavick, Jeff Brothers at Nashville Christian, Eddie Woods at Cane Ridge, and Justin Geisinger at Frank Road Academy. At 8:15, Engel Martin's going to join us from CPA. We know it's Friday night, and these guys are off, and they're taking time out to join us, and we could not be more thrilled and more appreciative of these guys for doing that. So this is a high school football show for all you guys out there. 6 hours. We love doing this, Elijah and myself. But we had games last night. We've got some games tonight. Here's the scoreboard. All right, games played last night. Cane Ridge over Overton, 21-12. Clarksville, 30. West Creek, 14. Clarksville Northeast, 62. Father Ryan, 55. CPA, 35. Oakland, 14. East Nashville, 43. Maplewood, 8. FRA, 55. Stratford, 18. Hillwood, 50. Glencliff, 9. Lebanon, 27. Mount Juliet, 6. McGavick, 48. Antioch, 20. Nashville Christian, 49. Clarksville Northwest, 19. Pearl Cone 35, Marshall County 23, Rossview 22, Kenwood 14, Stewart County 41, Houston County 24, and Tullahoma last night beat Montgomery Central 31-0. As for games tonight, Springfield leads Beach 3-0, Brentwood over Franklin 7-0, Brentwood Academy leads Cornerstone Christ Church 7-0, not the one here in town, I think it's the one down in Memphis. Ravenwood over Centennial 14-7, Clay County over Scott, 26-0. Richland tied Collinwood, 21-21. Greenbrier, 7. Creekwood, nothing. Endsworth and NBA tied at 7. Columbia and Giles County tied at 21. Gordonsville on top of Trousdale, 14-0. Watertown on top of Harpeth, 3-0. Summit is up over Independence, 21-3. Moore County over Loretto, 21-7. Macon County leads Stone Memorial 14-7. Waverly continues to rule over White House Heritage 22-6. And Paducah Tillman over Henry County 6-3. And that's your scoreboard update from right now. Again, you might say, Joe, you missed a lot of teams. There's not a lot of these games, no scoring. A lot of teams are off this week. Elijah, let me get your kind of thoughts now on this Summit Independence game. They're up 21-3. Head coach Brian Coleman on at Summit a few weeks ago. They've only won one game. He came on, and he's like, I can't believe you guys want to have me on. I said, no, Coach, we love you. Come on and talk about just fighting through this. And Elijah, he was fantastic about telling the kids, look, life isn't easy, and games aren't easy, and you got to fight through this. And what a great message, and it's good to see this team leading 21-3.
It is, and it shows progress, too. Like what Coach Coleman's done for that program is incredible, and they're now experiencing something as a program that happens to a lot of teams in high school football. You get a lot of turnover. You have to rebuild. You have to start back from scratch, down from the studs, because your best players graduate. You can't be in high school forever. I know I certainly tried, but you're not going to be in there forever.
Right.
And it's taken a while, right? You're 1-6 on the year. You're 0-3 in the region, but here's the magic of what happens if they've sealed the deal tonight, Joe. Then they are 1-3. Independence is 2-2. Independence is holding that number 4 spot in the region. They win this game tonight, and you still have a whole lot more to play for. It's not just getting better for next year at this point. Then you have a legit shot to make the playoffs, because you then have another winnable game against Franklin, the other 0-3 team in their region play right now. And really, you win this game tonight and you have a season to play for in 2022. It's not just playing for 2023 and beyond. And I think what Coach Coleman's done this year is kind of build his team up to this point. And it's gotten to where they're learning how to win, you know, and that's sometimes the hardest thing in high school football.
Sure.
Is when you have a lot of new players at new positions. I mean, how many different players did he reel off when he was on with us a couple weeks ago, Joe, that are playing completely new positions and have had to just assimilate into an entirely different role?
Did he say
that takes time?
He has one or two returning, maybe, and they weren't starters. Something crazy.
Oh, yeah. I think it was one actual starter.
Right. Okay.
One who I guess had spot starts, you know, here and there. And it's taken a while to get there, but now these kids are seeing the fruits of their labor. Like sometimes all it takes is one. And if that one can be against Independence, their whole season outlook completely changes. So this is a big one, not just because it'd be an upset that none of us have predicted, but it's big for a program that's trying to rebuild upon the successes from last year and with a whole new group of kids.
Yeah, you look at, they had the win against Spring Hill, then they've lost to Brentwood, Blackman, Centennial, Beach, and then Ravenwood, and none of them had really close. But, he said that, my guys continue to fight. They're not quitting. They're fighting. And we know this. You continue to fight, something's going to break through right there. So I'm not saying I'm shocked they're up over Independence, but by that margin, I guess I kind of am right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's the thing. I'm looking at the schedules right now, Joe. So obviously Independence, bye week next week. Summit, bye week next week. Fall break. The schedules for both teams. Summit will have Shelbyville on the 21st. Shelbyville has yet to win a game. Obviously a non-region game. The implications aren't there as much. But they end the season against Franklin. Like I said, they've yet to play Franklin. If they're able to beat Franklin, say they win tonight and they beat Franklin, they'll put them at 2-3. In the region on the season. A loss tonight would put Independence at 2-2. Well, Independence has to play at Page October 21st after their bye, and then they end the season at home against Ravenwood, the team currently sitting in first right now, who is currently beating Centennial. Ravenwood's a really, really good team. Independence would have to beat Ravenwood to fend off Summit. And of course, they tie. Guess who has the tiebreaker because they played head-to-head?
Uh-huh.
I mean, things get a whole lot interesting. I mean, a win tonight for Summit. If you're Coach Coleman, you got to look at those kids and say, hey, this is an avenue to make the playoffs when no one thought you could. That's huge.
It is. By the way, Cumberland County just scored a lead, Livingston Academy 7-0 at halftime. Both teams are 0-7. That's your peeps up there. That's your area.
Yes.
You favor one team or the other? Does a win mean more for one school or the other? What's the deal here?
So, well, this one, it's conflicting, right? On one hand, Livingston Academy, arch rivals of York Institute, right? Grew up most of my childhood in Jamestown, where York Institute is. Never really cared much for Livingston growing up. My dad despises Livingston. It's one of those like age-old rivalries, right? And then I have some bad memories from Cumberland County stealing a district championship from underneath my belt as a senior
here
high
we
school
go.
District tournament game. And one of those heartbreaking losses, missed a layup with about 7 seconds left that would have won us the game.
Did you miss it?
And that was a real – I did not miss it.
Okay.
I fouled out. I made sure I didn't have the chance to miss it. Like I did many games that year, I fouled out. Playing defense without fouling wasn't my strong suit. But I still have vivid memories of that game. That Cumberland County team was really, really good. So I've always kind of resent. There's a little bit of a high school resentment there, but I have connections to both of these schools. They've been in my life for a while, and tonight they have a chance to, at least get a win on the season. It's a different kind of desperation. Tonight's their Super Bowl, and I love that for these teams. I love giving them a little bit of spotlight. Two winless teams trying to get that one big memory for the season. And if you're Livingston, they're trying to snap that 19 game losing streak, one of the longest in their classification. So they can make some history in a bad way if they lose. So I said Cumberland County's up early.
Yeah, I've never been on a team that meant anything that didn't win a game, so I don't know how that feels, but I've been on plenty of softball teams that never won a game, and that irked me a little bit, because we want to win. That's why we play.
Yeah. Oh, man. To this day, it's sixth grade basketball. We went 0-15. And it's still to this day, it still bugs me. Think about that bugged me. It still bugs me to those memories because it's embarrassing. Losing every game like that, it's embarrassing. And even now when I was writing down the games that I was looking forward to tonight, I was like, do I really want to highlight a game between two winless teams? And I said, yes, because if I'm one of those teams and I get that win is so significant to me that if it could be celebrated, I would like for that to happen. So the same way that we want to see Glencliff break their losing streak.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see one of these teams break a losing streak and be able to hang their hat on one special night a year. And for these kids, it can mean a whole lot. So it's their Super Bowl. Between Cumberland County and Livingston, it's their Super Bowl tonight. So I have an emotional investment in that game now.
Nice. As we've been talking, Independence has scored. Summit still leads 21-10. Waverly scored again over Whitehout Heritage 29-6. And Cheatham County up over Sycamore 8-7. All right, Elijah, coming up next, we have Ingle Martin, head football coach at CPA. Mm-hmm. Big win last night over Oakland, knocking them, the mighty Patriots, putting them in, giving them their first loss in almost forever. He'll join us next. Looking forward to talking to Coach Martin right then. You're listening to the Game Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Fun night so far. Thanks to all the coaches that have joined us tonight. And we've had like six coaches on tonight. We've asked them all their reaction last night to CPA beating Oakland, and every coach said they were not surprised. So let's bring in the head coach at CPA right now, Ingle Martin, who we just think the world of. Coach Martin, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and you can chalk me in the list of the coaches that were surprised. So I'll mess up your numbers.
What was that like last night? Because I got to tell you, I'm lying in bed, I'm half asleep, I check my app, I see that you guys win, and I'm like, holy cow, tell me what that was like last night, because as you well know, Coach, that is a loaded football team.
It was just a great game, obviously for our kids. We've got bunch of kids that I think have been giving us everything they can this whole fall. And, when you're playing sometimes with guys that don't have a ton of experience at different positions, I mean, that's really the only thing we were lacking. And so, for whatever reason, this is a game where it kind of all clicked, and it was, by far our best effort, on offense and on defense and just all around special teams. And so, it worked out, and I think, psychology is a part of the game, and it's just hard to have kids up 10 straight weeks, and our game happened to be sandwiched in between, I think, Oakland's two biggest games of the year for them with Blackman and Riverdale, and it was, it's a classic, what everyone calls a trap game, and, we played the game. We had to. Last year was a great game. Came down to a last second stop by them beating us. And this year is just, I think, about for us, is just about execution. And, we had a couple important turnovers that we were able to get down in the red zone. And that was really the difference in the game.
Coach, I'm not really a stat guy, but one stat I always like looking at is losses and wins by one possession. And you got two of those, so two fantastic football teams in Cane Ridge and Franklin Road Academy. What did you learn about your football team in those two games particularly, because those were the last two games you played before Oakland?
Yeah, I think, like I said, biggest thing is experience. And, when you got a chance to get into the fire as a player and just the heat of an important moment, no matter what happens in the moment, you got opportunity to learn and to grow, and that's what's happened with our kids. And sometimes you get in the moment and it works out, and you can still learn. But oftentimes, I think for all of us as humans, we learn a lot better when adversity hits. And I think our kids have done that. And I think credit goes to our senior class. I mean, a lot of people would have packed up their stuff and headed to the house, and our kids came and. We had our best week of practice this week, and the kids were focused. And, obviously knowing that we're playing a nationally ranked team and a team with Kevin Creasy coaching it, who, they've done nothing but win the last couple of years. Our kids knew what they were up against. And again, I think just how it all works out, man, when you play really good football teams, I think, you get a little bit better and you get a little bit better. And I think our kids learned, from playing, NBA and Brentwood Academy, and Independence is having a good year, and shoot, Coach Geisinger's got FRA rolling, and Cane Ridge is, probably the best right. Metro team. So they've been up against, some really good competition, and I think you got a choice to make, and our kids chose to keep working and keep pulling together.
Sets of the season against Oakland last night. And Coach, I like how you were mentioning a lot of the tough competition you all have played within your region and outside of your region. But what does last night's win against that Oakland team tell your team and tell your kids about what they're capable of, especially considering of They have a big two-game stretch against Lipscomb Academy, who also hasn't lost a game this year. They're a state champion. And then Davidson Academy at the end of the season, who's playing pretty well as of late. What does that tell them going into this really crucial stretch?
Well, you know, when we put together our schedule 2 years ago, and any time we have the opportunity to set a schedule, it's always, you know, trying to find games that our kids get excited about, that are fun for the community, and obviously challenge our guys. And what we found over the last, you know, really 6 years of kind of this method is that our kids love it. They love getting up and having that opportunity to play these games. And when you play against a team that executes at the level that a Kevin Creasy football team does, I mean, we scrimmaged them when he was at Trousdale. I mean, he's one of the best, and it's for a reason that their teams execute. And they play the right way. The last 2 years playing against Oakland is what high school football should be. The kids respect each other. They play hard between the whistles. You know, like I said, last year came down to a play, and they beat us and obviously had an incredible year. But being able to walk through the line and have a mutual respect, and the kids, you know, are shaking hands after knocking, you know, the snot out of each other four quarters is a pretty neat feeling. And that's really what high school football should be.
Absolutely. And Coach, one thing I've wanted to ask you this season, just never had the chance to start the year. You know, you weren't with the team for a couple of weeks because of your son in the Little League World Series up in Williamsport. And that was a really cool thing that we got to talk about on this show. But how was that experience for you? And what kind of message did that send to your team as well, that there are a lot of things that are more important than football?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, doing this for 12 years, I've not had a situation yet until this year at Williamsport where you know, something was more important than what our team was doing. And, you know, that's what I told them before I left, you know, for Williamsport. It was, you know, bottom line is at some point you got to make a decision. And there are things that are more important than what you think is the most important thing, whether it's your job or whatever situation you're in at that moment. And I told him, one day you'll have that choice to make with your own family. And, you know, I said, I love y'all, and I'll be working and doing it remotely with technology now. But it was an incredible experience. And I think the coolest part for me was, you know, every single one of my coaches, I think we're going to get mad at me if I didn't do it. You know, our head of school was going to get mad at me if I didn't do it. And shoot, I had players that said, Coach, you got to go, you know, yeah, we're excited for you. And so everyone was on board, and that was the cool part. And of course, having a great coaching staff, you know, there at CPA, made it really easy. And obviously we got a great group of seniors that full of a bunch of really good kids that understand that there is something bigger than football. And that's really what I think makes CPA really special, is just that opportunity to be able to talk about those things and to be able to, you know, I guess lead by example, if you will. But obviously there is a point in time where you got to make some sacrifices. And for 12 years, I've made a lot of them, you know, missing kids' games and missing putting kids to bed. And that's just the life of a coach. And I knew it when I signed up for it. But Williamsport was really special, and our family obviously will remember it for a long time.
We're talking to Ingle Martin, head football coach at CPA. Gosh, 12 years now at CPA? Am I that old?
Hey, that's a great question. It goes really quickly. The 12-year-old who was in Williamsport, our son Wright, I was actually coaching and teaching at Innsworth the year he was born, and you know, it's gone amazingly quickly.
That's unbelievable. I want to ask you this real quick, going back to last night's game about Oakland. You know, on social media today, you know, and people around the neighborhood, you know, could tell your team, oh God, you're picking on Oakland, you're not going to win this game, why are you playing this game? How do you tell the guys just to turn off that noise?
You know, we don't really talk about anything outside of what we can control, and the kids know that. For us, it's about attitude and effort, and you know, they've heard that. My own two boys hear it all the time. But you know, the 9-year-old baseball team I coach, that they've heard it for the last 3 years. You know, we just try to keep it easy. And when you start worrying about everything else, outside noise, outside factors, then you really start hurting, I think, your opportunities to compete, your opportunities to be your best. And And the bottom line is, and our kids know it, the most important thing to impacting what you do on a Friday night is what you do Monday through Thursday. And you can, you know, break that down as far as you want to go. You know, what you do in July, what you have done in January and February. I mean, just there's a process to it. And I think, you know, a lot of people are wanting to compete in that way. But our kids, you know, they understand that. And, you know, that's what makes team sports so special for young people, is because you get to do it with other people, which is really what life is about, learning that it's not about you, it's about something bigger than yourself. And our kids, I think, get that opportunity. And every kid that's playing football in the state of Tennessee this year, I hope they understand that and get that opportunity, that this is really about being a part of something bigger than yourself.
Coach, last one for me. You got the open week this week, and then on the 21st, you have a big one against Lipscomb Academy. Lipscomb's been a buzzsaw this year, and they've been a lot of fun to watch offensively. What kind of challenge is that going to be for your team, and how does this last win, I guess, kind of prepare you for a game like that?
Yeah, you know, we've got two region games left, and, you know, no matter which way you carve it up, they're all worth the same. And so, you know, we want to win both of them, and, you know, bottom line is that helps you in November, and our kids know that, and you know, we want to do the best we can, and you know, you win both of those, you got a great opportunity to put yourself in position for success in November, and that's really what that's about. And so the way that the TLS away structures everyone's schedule is those region games are you know, infinitely more important than the non-region games. And depending on how you schedule, you know, and, you know, we already talked about what our non-region schedule has been. Those region games are opportunities to go out and compete and play for something. And I think our kids will be excited. You know, anytime you can play meaningful games at the end of October, it's a blessing. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, take it for granted that, you know, the way playoffs are set up now and just, oh, you're going to make the playoffs or whatever. It's just something that I think a lot of people, when they look at high school football, probably would complain about now, is that, you know, playing these meaningful games is really about playoff seeding more than it is about making playoffs. And so that's what our kids are focused on. That's what we talk about, you know, and that's what these last two games mean.
Coach, thank you. I know it's a Friday night and you got time off. We so appreciate you taking time to spend with us. Best of luck, Coach. We'll talk to you soon again. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for having us, and appreciate all y'all do for high school football.
Coach, thank you. That's very kind. Coach Eagle Martin, Coach, over at CPA. Real quick before the break, let's bring in Junie Riddle. Kenny, he's still there? Junie Riddle over at the Page Dolezville game. Junie, give us an update, buddy.
Well, guys, the last time I left off with you, Colin Hurd had just hit a pass to Boy Smith on a slant route for a touchdown to open up the gate. The second quarter was jam-packed, filled with highlights, because Nolanville responded directly. After that, it was a blown coverage. The defender had fallen down, and wide receiver Dylan Northcutt got a 56-yard touchdown only a minute or two after Page had scored initially. Then the Nolansville defense got a big stop and forced Page to punt, and it seemed like the momentum was shifting towards the Nolansville end. But then strong safety Hudson Amason got an interception on Kobe Walton and took it all the way down to the Nolansville 33. About two plays later, the Nolansville defense brought the blitz, but that did not even matter for Ethan Cunningham, because he beats that blitz, runs over the defender, and gets a 23-yard touchdown to go up 14-7, which is where we sit at halftime right now.
Whoa, man, you got a barn burner over there. All right, Junie, thank you. Check back in just a little bit, will you?
Absolutely, guys. Y'all keep killing it.
All right. Thank you, Junie Riddle, the Page Dolezville game. Yeah, well done. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We've got 3.5 more hours of this. We'll give you a full scoreboard rundown of what's happening in Middle Tennessee, what happened last night. You're listening to the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here at 102.5, 106.3, the game. Yeah, Kenny, keep that on to the top of the hour, brother. Thank you for that. Welcome back to the Game Blitz, right here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Centers and National Playmakers Academy. That's all the coaches for now who played last night or are off this week. We'll get more coaches as these games become final. We load up with the coaches in the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock hour. We have a lot of fun with those. So, all right, bottom of the hour, scoreboard time. All right, these are games played last night. in Middle Tennessee. Cane Ridge over Overton, 21-12. Clarksville over West Creek, 30-14. Clarksville Northeast over Father Ryan, 62-55. CP over Oakland, 35-14. East Nashville, 43. Maplewood, 8. FRA, 55. Stratford, 18. Hillwood, 50. Glencliff, 9. Lebanon, 27. Mount Juliet, 6. McGaddock, 48. Antioch, 20. Nashville Christian, 49. Clarksville Northwest, 19. Pearl Cone, 35. Marshall County, 23. Rossview, 22. Kenwood, 14. Stewart County, 41. Houston County, 24. Tullahoma, 31. Montgomery Central, 0. Those are games last night. Games tonight in progress. The Beach Buccaneers lead the Springfield Yellow Jackets 14-3. Brentwood over Franklin, 7-0. Brentwood Academy over Cornerstone Christian, Tennessee, 7-0. Ravenwood over Centennial, 14-7. Clay County over Scott, 26-0. Do we know who Scott is? We'll try to find that out. Richland,
yeah, that's Scott County, baby. That's right over there near Fentress.
But it doesn't say Scott County anywhere that I look. It's weird. It says Scott.
I know. In Donovan Stewart, shout out, by the way. Donovan does a fantastic job of the previews every year. They only have Scott. It does not say Scott County on the
okay.
Drop the county, I guess. I guess it's just Scott, which is odd.
Right, maybe they're sponsored by paper towels now. Who knows? But anyway, they're getting beat 26-0. Richland tied Collinwood 21-21. Creekwood over Greenbrier 14-6. We'll come back to that in a moment. I want to get your thoughts, Elijah, on that. NBA Innsworth tied at 7. Giles County up over Columbia 28-21. Gordonsville over Trousdale 14-0. Watertown over Harpeth 16-0. Hendersonville leads Shelbyville 19-12. Green Hill over Hunter's Lane 21-0. Summit over Independence 21-10. Moore County over Loretto 27-21. Page 14, Nolensville 7. Macon County 28, Stowe Memorial 14. Cheatham County 8, Sycamore 7. White County 14, Hillsboro nothing. Waverly 29, White House Heritage 6. Paducah Tillman 14, Henry County 10. Cumberland County 7, Livingston 0. And that is your scoreboard update. All right, we got to go back to the score. Get your thoughts, Elijah. And it is the Greenbrier Creekwood. All right, remember we've talked to several coaches who've played Creekwood and have just lavished praise on them about how tough they are, and they're missing a few breaks here and there. Otherwise, they'd probably be unbeaten. They got out of the gate to Greenbrier. They're down 6-0 early. They've rallied back. The defense is hammered down. That's an underrated football team, one that I know, Elijah, you've had your eye on for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They've had a lot of tough breaks this year, and they're in my favorite region in the state, right? I mean, there's 9 teams. 80% of your schedule is made up with region games. Every game is vitally important. You don't get a lot of those off weeks against non-region opponents that a lot of other schools kind of get to partake in every now and then. But it's a tough region. It's a lot top heavier this year, and Creekwood's kind of just been a victim of that circumstance, right? I think they're a really solid team. Greenbrier too, or Greenbrier specifically, I think more so than anything. I think it started off 0-2, and they've reeled off four straight wins, all of which are region wins. So them and Pearl Cone are the only undefeated teams left in that region, and what a no better way for Greenbrier to start this game than that pick six. But that game is huge because if Creekwood's able to win, that puts them at 3-2. Then Marshall County has no more margin for error. They're still fighting with Greenbrier to be able to host the first round playoff game. Pearl Cone's looking really good at 6-0 in the region. This game is one that's kind of like a sneaky good game just because of the playoff implications here. Because right below Creekwood is Lawrence County at 2-3 in the region. Yeah. Tullahoma at 2-3 in the region, nipping at their heels, and Tullahoma playing their best football right now. Tullahoma, kind of like Summit, lost a whole lot of players, a whole lot of starters from a legit team, and they're getting better as the season goes on because a lot of new players have had to acclimate to new roles. So Tullahoma's a team that's getting better as the season goes along. Lawrence County's not bad. Creekwood needs this game. This would be a huge win for Creekwood, not only to solidify a playoff spot, but get them within a game of getting to be hosting a first-round playoff game. Second place in this region is very desirable, Joe.
Oh, it is. And they've got Hillwood and Glencliff, and I'm not going to say, you know, they're going to win these games. I mean, but two games they should be the obvious favorite in, so it looks in their favor.
Winnable.
Yeah, and so what I like about this is that they played Fairview in week 2. We asked Coach Chris Hughes and said, hey, tell us about Creekwood. And he's like, man, I got to tell you, in all my years, I'm going back thinking, I don't know how we won this game over this football team. He goes, they are so good. And he was so right. And he just said this, they really hit hard. They lost two games by one position. That put him right now at 3-3, 5-1, I guess, if that would have happened. But that's a team. I like to see teams that we don't talk about on a basis year to year doing really well. So that's good for Queequeg.
Yeah, oh, very much so. And you look at some of the teams they lost by one score. Obviously, there's the Fairview game you alluded to. The other one's Marshall County, the team that was undefeated up until last week.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a quality loss. And, of course, Pearl Cone got them pretty good on September 9th, but Pearl Cone gets a lot of teams really good. That team has been a buzzsaw in the last 6 or 7 weeks. So, I mean, Creekwood, for them to be even in this position is pretty impressive, and it shows a lot of growth that they've had. As a program, they were only 4-6 last year. If they win tonight, then they already match the season total of wins from last season. So there's a lot on the line for Creekwood here too. And you look at the rest of the, like you said, the rest of the schedule: Hillwood, Glencliff, winnable games, and then you have the game at Lawrence County, which, depending on what Lawrence County does tonight and for the rest of the season or the 2 weeks leading up to that game, could be a game to punch a ticket into the playoffs, which is pretty significant. Well, they're off tonight. Lawrence County is, but Lawrence County's got Tullahoma, a de facto elimination game for the playoffs because they're both 2-3 and two and three in the region play respectively. And then they have Hillwood, who struggled a lot this year. So I would expect Lawrence County to win. So if they win those two games, that game against Creekwood could be for that magical number 4 spot in region 5.
Okay. I'm going to get on my soapbox here. And I know you're an Upper Cumberland guy and you're from up there. I still got a problem with region teams from Nashville playing a region team in White County. Hillsborough's got to travel to White County tonight.
Yeah.
And I know people tell Joe, just shut up, and I get that. But I'm not going to right now. There's got to be a better way to reclassify these schools where they're not driving. What did we forget? An hour 45 in a school bus on a Friday night if we're lucky to get over to White County from that. I'm just not a fan of that, Elijah.
You're flirting with 2 hours. And there's another one, too, that didn't make much sense to me, and that's in 3A in East Nashville's region. Region 5, 3A.
Yeah.
East Nashville's playing with – so, obviously, Maplewood, clear fit. Stratford, clear fit. Three Metro Nashville teams, right? Well, the other two schools are Smith County and Jackson County. And I guarantee you, 90% of our audience couldn't point out Gainesboro, Tennessee on a map, and I wouldn't expect them to.
Right, I can't.
That's like 2.5 hours by Ferrari, I would say. Like, that is not an easy drive, and Gainesboro's kind of a remote spot. I'm also surprised Jackson County got the 3A classification, to be all honest. But, I mean, Smith County and Carthage is a little bit of a drive, too. But the fact that Jackson County has to play against teams that are all the way in Metro Nashville geographically makes as much sense as putting Boise State in the ACC.
Yeah, it's just nonsense, and there's got to be a better way. But, you know, we can't fight that battle tonight, and I understand all that goes on, what's happening. All right, we'll take another break. We got 3 hours and 15 more minutes of high school coverage. Most games are into the second half tonight, so we got you covered. Stick with us till midnight tonight. You're listening to the Game Blitz right here on Apple, brought to you by – I'm so excited. Rewind this.
You're juiced. Right.
This is the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3, the Game.
Boom.
All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz. I'm loving the music tonight on a beautiful Friday night here in the best part of the world, Middle Tennessee. Welcome back to the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Elijah, I would tell you a score just popped up on my scoreboard sheet here, which I hadn't seen all that long. Fairview over Camden, 50-0. I know we love Chris Hughes, head football coach at Fairview, but my goodness, Elijah, this football team, you start to see it now. I mean, this is week 8-9, hot football teams coming together, and our coach has a hot football team right now.
I mean, that's putting it lightly there, Joe. 50-0. And, man, Fairview is legit. And like we mentioned a couple hours ago, you know, them and Waverly are in a legitimate crash course for a region championship game to end the season. And this is a game that Fairview doesn't have to really win, right? Like, Camden's out of the classification, out of the region, and they're still taking care of business like that. even though Camden's opposite, like, you expect Fairview to win this game, but they're doing it in a fashion that you would expect for a team to that is 5-2, 4-0 in their region, of a really good region. And Chris Hughes football teams, man, they don't let up. That's one thing you got to admire about that man and his squad.
Right.
So tonight is a quintessential example. That is a pretty impressive score.
Yeah, it's still in the third quarter right now, 50-0. There's not a lot of games that are kind of standing out right now. Ravenwood up over Centennial 17-14. That's in the third quarter. That's a huge game we talked about in that region as well between those two schools. What a game. I mean, we said earlier, I mean, if Centennial can pull off a win like this tonight over Ravenwood, my goodness, that's a school that, and again, no offense, Coach Kreisky down there at Centennial, we love you too, man. But I just, you know, going week eight, going to the week nine, Centennial's not a school I had pegged that was kind of leading that region.
Yeah, I would not have picked them, yeah, to be leading after, what, eight games? Yeah.
Right.
It's not what I would have expected, but I mean, that a win against Ravenwood tonight would have caused elite chaos in this region, right? If Independence were to have beaten Summit, say Centennial were to have beaten Ravenwood, I love doing hypothetical. Sorry for everyone that hates them, but I love them and we're doing it right now. Then you have about one, two, three, four teams that are three and one. Sorry, can't even read my own handwriting.
That's okay.
3-1 in Region 7-6A. That's like almost a four-way tie. I mean, that's pretty significant to have that kind of chaos at the top of that region. And then going into the last 2 weeks of the season, because most of these teams are going to be hitting their bye week here next week, you have 2 weeks of every snap counting in that region. I mean, that's kind of one thing, like low-key, that I was wanting to see happen tonight was Centennial to win and Independence to beat Summit, just so we can have those four teams all – at 3-1 right. In that region. And nice. You have maximum chaos because their only losses are to each other in different forms. But Summit's not making my dream become a reality because they pull off on the Shockers of the night so far, are pulling them off. It's not over yet.
Absolutely.
Independent score to cut the deficit to 11. But if they're able to come back and win that game and Centennial's able to beat Ravenwood, buckle up, because the last 2 weeks of this season are going to be entertaining in Region 7-6A.
All right, did this earlier, and I love that you do this. We did it in the 6 o'clock hour, so our audience now in the 8 o'clock hour. I want to go through this again. You compile a list. We have an exclusive club. It's called the Elijah Campbell Club. It's somewhere in Middle Tennessee. People, you don't need to know about it.
Undisclosed location.
Only the unbeaten high school football teams are allowed in there, and it's kind of bewildering to watch the list almost get cut in half each week, which shows you the great parity in football in Middle Tennessee. Where are we now with unbeaten football teams in Middle Tennessee?
So in the entire state coming into tonight, there are 22 total undefeated teams in the state. Only 8 of those reside in Middle Tennessee. I think the number last week was about 16 or 17 still in Middle Tennessee, and the number was over 40 plus in the state. That has been cut in half, and a lot of these are by some really surprising upsets. But no teams in 6A. Going into last night, there were two teams in the entire 6A classification of undefeated, Oakland and Collierville. Both of them got beat last night in upset losses. In 5A, you have Nolensville and Page, obviously, with Page being up 14-7 right now. One of those teams will be ejected, or if it's a close loss, then it can be politely removed from the club. It might not be as much of a kicking out, more of a, hey, time for you to go home. You don't have to go home, or you know, you can't stay here. In 4A, not a lot. A lot of the teams in there's out of the five 4A teams that are undefeated, 1, 2, 3 of them are in the east side of the state. One is on the west, but the one in Middle Tennessee is Stone Memorial. They're down 2 touchdowns last time we checked to Macon County, a 6-1 Macon County team that just got forcibly removed from this club by Upperman just last week. So if that score holds, Joe, there'll be no more teams in 4A in Middle Tennessee that are undefeated. Only 4 teams in that classification that still remain undefeated. In 3A, you have East Nashville, who beat Maplewood 43-8 last night, the Fighting Kenny Adamses. They're the only team in the entire classification that are undefeated. In 2A, there's only 3 teams that are undefeated, none of which are in Middle Tennessee. It's Hampton, Tyner, and Fairley. Only 2 of them play tonight. But one of them plays tonight. One played last night, fairly blew out Mitchell. And then in 1A, the only team in 1A that is in in Middle Tennessee is Fayetteville. The other two are on the west side of the state. Fayetteville has a bye this week. They're not playing tonight. So by default, they will get to stay in the club for another week at least. But they've been an absolute buzzsaw in 1A, Joe. We've kept up with a lot of their games this year.
Right.
There's not been a lot of teams that have been able to be competitive with Fayetteville this season. And then you go into the private school regions, Division II, 1A, only one team remaining in that entire classification is undefeated. That's Friendship Christian.
Yeah,
off this week.
I don't see them getting slow down. I mean, that offense is high-powered, and they're just rolling over teams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they haven't played a close game all season long, and I really don't anticipate them playing any close games until it gets to playoff time. A Division II, AA, Lipscomb Academy, the only one in Middle Tennessee. They're playing its 3-2 Knox Catholic tonight. Knoxville Webb is the only other team in that classification that is undefeated. However, they're at 5-2 Silverdale Baptist tonight. Could be a trap game. And then, of course, in Division II, 3A, only two teams remain undefeated, only one of which is in Middle Tennessee. That is MBA. They're playing Ensworth tonight at 6-1 Ensworth. And the latest I have from Teron Davenport, they're in the fourth quarter, NBA up 28-17.
Correct. Lipscomb is over beating Knox Catholic. That score's 35-0, and it was in the second quarter right there. So I think East stays unbeaten.
No one's beating them.
Yeah, East stays unbeaten. Lipscomb stays unbeaten. NBA stays unbeaten. But as we all know, it means nothing if you lose in the first or second round of the playoffs. Zero.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Like this club is fun. And I treat the customers well, right?
Right.
Until you lose and you have to be
until
forcibly ejected.
Time to go.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It's all fun and games to be in this club. You get the invite. You get the jacket after 8 games. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff here. Don't get me wrong. But the prize is awarded in December, right? I mean, it's going to be all fun and games to talk about Oakland getting removed from the club. But if they're hoisting the trophy of 6A in December, doesn't really matter, you know? And for a lot of these teams, too, they might take advantage of some maybe weaker regions. I know it's not in East Tennessee, but one of the teams in the club is Red Bank out in Chattanooga. They don't play in a particularly tough region. However, the region below them that they're matched with is no cakewalk. They can go 10-0 and then lose to the number 4 team in the region next to them. That is very likely, very possible. And that happens in high school football all the time. So they're in region 4, they're region 3, they're going to roll through that. Barring a loss to East Hamilton, but then they play region 4, which is where Stone Memorial, DeKalb County, Upperman, Macon County, those are 4 quality teams. Joe Dubin, Red Bank can run the table, go 10-0 and have to play at home against Macon County, which is what the standings look like this very moment, and easily lose that game. Doesn't matter. So a lot of it is just the region you're in and the pairing you get when it comes to playoff time.
I love high school football and playoffs in Middle Tennessee. It's so, so much fun. All right, thank you, Elijah. All right, we got 3 more hours of great, intense, fun, entertaining high school football coverage for you as we do the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. We got the scoreboard for you. That's all next right here. Listen to the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.